This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Infront Consulting Group Asia Pacific is an award-winning pioneer regional specialist in cloud and data center consulting, started by Ray Chow, who is also a business coach with Owner Circle, plus other businesses. He, however, started out as the sound guy with Dato' Leonard Tan. How did this come about? We'll find out now. How indeed, Ray, did this come about?
Wow. Hey, Frida. I was never the academic or the school kid, right? The school kid that every teacher loves. I was the Ponteng school. Mm. I was the one that, you know, was the naughty kid. So I never really could understand what was my purpose in life in terms of the academic world. So the only thing that I knew how to, or my love was two things, was art and music. So when I left school, I had to ask myself, right, so which one would I do? Then I realized that, okay, most artists, they don't get famous until they're dead. So I said, let's put art aside lah. So that's when I went into music. So yeah, so the first job or the first person that really took me in was Dato' Leonard Tan.
Right.
And I was going through a diploma in audio engineering and sound engineering that time.
Okay.
And through a friend, I got to know him and he was really very kind and says, hey, come and work for me lah. So that's how it all started.
Okay, so then this is very interesting. Then, of course, I like the logic between art and music. What was the logic? You want to be alive to enjoy it. Now, in 2003, though, you started another business, right? And of course, now it's not known as Infront Consulting, right? So tell me about that, because that business also, you know, has grown quite large.
Yeah. So I started ReDynamics in 2003, and you know, as I moved through the music career, then something dawned on me, right? So again, that whole thoughts about art and music, right? And now music, right? So I said, okay, so it was always, you know, we were always a struggling musician.
Yes.
So I asked myself again, right? Do I want to be a struggling musician for the rest of my life? Things like that. And I said, probably not. So that's where in 98, 99, you know, during the financial crisis, there was one industry that was booming. It was IT.
Yes.
So that's when I started to really study technology. So I know I was not a graduate in IT. It was nothing to do with technology, but I felt that this was the way to go.
Okay.
So ReDynamics was started in 2003. And so we started with providing IT training. And then we moved on to consulting, doing systems management consulting for a lot of enterprise companies in helping them to manage and monitor their data centers. Yeah. And then eventually, about 4 to 5 years later, I met, or rather, I was going through a bit of a reflection, right? And I think that this training thing isn't going well, or rather, it's not growing.
Right.
So then I went into consulting a couple of years. Then I wanted to model myself out of a company. So I was on the internet and I found this company called Infront Consulting in Canada. So I love their model. So I started to copy their model and implemented their model here in Malaysia. So, you know, the what people say, right? If you can't do it, just copy other people. And that's what I did. So then one day in a conference in Las Vegas, I was having a chat with somebody who's sitting next to me. He introduced himself to me. His name was Rory McCaw. And he says, hi, my name is Rory McCaw. I'm the CEO of Infront Consulting in Canada.
Wow.
So then I proceeded to tell him what I do. He asked me, right, what do you do? I said, oh, this is what I do. So in my head, right, I was sweating. Like, oh my God, is this guy am I going to be found out, right? Is this guy going to say, hey, you, copy me, right? So I told him, then immediately he said this word. He said, like, wow, Raymond, what is the chances? This must be fate, right? We are doing the same exact business, the same business model across the nation, right? There must be, yeah, across the world. There must be something that we have to do. So I wiped the sweat off my head and says, phew, right? And then we started talking. And that's how I started, rebranded myself. And I started the expansion here in Asia.
Right. Okay. So then after that, the start of 2011, you grew the business from Malaysia to 5 other countries regionally, right? And it's been growing year on year, right, of about 20%. So what clicked What clicked?
I think it was the whole understanding of the vision. So a lot of times, even though I named the company Redynamics Asia, always wanting to go to Asia, but it never clicked to me what exactly that meant.
Okay.
So the minute I went into that sort of this brand partnership, and it was very interesting, right? Because we never held equity in each other's company. We just decided to come together as a brand. But the minute I knew that it was a brand and where we wanted to go as a global company, then I started to understand, okay, I wanted to be in 10 countries in 10 years and transacting $100 million US dollars in that 10 years. So having that clarity of vision, and throughout my life as an entrepreneur, I think this is very important. Without the clarity of vision, we don't know where to head towards to.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, like I asked you, Frida, come, let's go and run a marathon, right? You know, you have doubts, right? Unless I tell you, like, okay, you know, let's go and run, let's say 10 kilometers from Damansara Heights to somewhere else. And at the end of that, we will have the best chendol.
Now we're talking.
Right? Right? So I think having that finish line puts things into perspective. And you know, that's really how we move. And so we went from there to Singapore first, then to Sri Lanka, to Thailand, to Indonesia, then to Australia. So all within a span of 7 years.
Right. So how large a team do you have at the moment?
We are still fairly small. We have about 55 of us in the 6 countries.
Right. So that's spread out across the countries. And of course, you know, you've been awarded several things as well. You've received multiple awards given by Microsoft for contribution in the management, virtualization and cloud space. 2015, top 3 finalists in the Global Data Center Solutions Partner of the Year category. 2016, won the prestigious top 10 SME companies in Malaysia. 2017, awarded the top 25 cloud solutions provider in Asia Pacific. And this is among the only 2 Malaysian companies represented in the list. You know, so what is the formula for success, that vision you were talking about?
I think having that vision is first. And second is I feel it's persistence.
Right.
Right. I think if we have that goal in mind, we have to keep on going. I think many times we wanted to give up. Right. So, and coincidentally, right, I'm not sure why, but we seem to be receiving awards normally at the time where we never really looked out for it. You know, we felt that, oh, you know, we are not doing well in business. You know, we are not doing anything, right? And I feel that the intention was never there. And when we had that intention, then we started to receive certain good things that comes along.
Okay.
You know? So I think other than clarity of vision, the one thing that I felt that other than persistence is clarity of intention. I think we really have to understand where are we going from day to day. So we can't just look at the vision and says, oh yeah, the finish line is there. Okay, hooray. Let's work towards it. And then just stand still here and says, okay. Let's just look at it. I think from the vision then, we really have to dial down and really map out, okay, what is our intention on a day-to-day basis?
So in terms of the business for Infront Consulting, was the pandemic good for business in a way?
Yes and no. The pandemic was good in a way because I think for the last 10 years, we've been trying to get people to go online, move to the cloud, right? And we've been trying so hard and people still say, oh, no, it's okay. You know, my business is doing well. You know, it doesn't have to change. Then pandemic happened. Then suddenly everybody felt that, okay, we got to go digital now. Right? So it took one pandemic to go from 20% adoption to about 90% adoption. That was good. Where it was not good was that we suddenly had a lot of competitors during the pandemic.
Ah, okay.
Everybody now wanted to be in the game because even in the technology space, so people that were doing other type of softwares, other type, they also felt a very big hit in the pandemic because what their softwares became was not a necessity anymore. People were just really wanting to, okay, I need to work from home now. I need a Zoom account. I need to do this. I need to do that, right? Basics needed to be placed. And we did basics very, very well. So a lot of those advanced players came down back to basics and says, hey, you know what? Let us do this for you too. So we had a lot of competition during the pandemic as well.
Right. And what do you do when there's competition? It's you just up your game, I guess.
Yeah. I think we have no choice. I think a lot of us will, either we can be comfortable on it and we can claim that, you know, we have done it for many years, right? And that was one of my mistakes in the past. And, you know, I became too comfortable saying that, oh, okay, I've been doing this in the past. And it's very easy during a pandemic to say that, you know, I've been doing this business for 15 to 16 years. We've been doing this. So we won't have to be afraid. Competition, come. It's okay. Right? We won't be afraid, right? Because we've been doing this for 15 years. And I can tell my customers, I've been doing this for 15 years. But guess what? Our customers don't care. We don't care. They don't care if you've been doing this for 15 years. They care what do they get. They care what is the value, and they care what is the price tied to that value. So I think it's not being comfortable. So yes, you know, you're right. Upping our game. So really looking at, okay, this competition is coming. How do we now up our game? Forget about the 15 years.
Okay. There's a lot more to go through with you, Ray, because we're going to talk about your F&B venture and also Owner's Circle after this. So stay tuned. I'm here with Ray Chow. You're listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Rita Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm here with Ray Chow from the Infront Consulting Group, plus other things that he's involved in. I want to talk about the barn. You went into F&B and now what, 8 outlets?
8 outlets, that's right.
Yeah, so tell me about the barn. And I'm like, I've heard it. Have I been? Oh, yes, I have been to the barn. But, you know, and when did you start to do this? Why did you go into F&B from art to, from music to consulting to F&B? Why did you do that?
Okay, so I think I'm not sure whether it's coincidental, right? A lot of IT people or a lot of IT friends owns bars.
Okay.
I don't know. Because the stress of work that everybody drinks.
Right. So you might as well own one.
Correct. And that was really the concept of the barn. Right. And it was actually not my idea. It was an idea that was brought to me by a good friend. And my good friend is Josh Ang. So Josh Ang is the, as we all know, the owner of A&W.
Ah, yes.
And he was the owner of Manhattan Fish Market, Tony Roma's, many, many good brands. Right. So he came up with the idea. He brought the idea to me and says, hey, you're drinking all the time, right? I'm drinking all the time, right? Might as well we pump all our expenses back into our own place. So that's where we kind of like did a mini crowdfunding exercise.
Okay.
We got about 20 to 30 friends together. And, you know, we started with a small group, and then we got other friends together. And it was very basic criteria, right? Criteria of being a co-founder at the barn. Number one, you have to love to drink.
Okay.
Or you either love to drink or you have to drink. And criteria number two, you need to be a business owner.
Okay.
And the logic behind that was that because we already have to have business meetings at a place, so might as well have business meetings at our own place. And if we do well, then, you know, referral will come, you know, people talk about it, right? So that is the basic concept. Like, we didn't really have any epiphanies or great ideas. It was just a place for business people to have good wines and to have good meetings. That's it.
So, okay. So how many co-founders are there?
I think there's about 30.
Really? No headaches? I'm just thinking 30 co-founders with 30 ideas. There must be a major shareholder.
Fortunately, none.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's been smooth running so far.
Yeah.
So what happened during the pandemic? I'm sure business was, you know, affected.
Yes, it was. Well, but maybe, I guess, let me go back to that question on why there was no fights or why everything's so smooth sailing and things like that. I guess it's because it's about the clarity of vision, number one, and aligned values.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about values of, oh, okay, everybody is honest. Everybody is, you know, of certain attitude, behaviors. Everybody's different. It's 30 people. How can everybody be the same?
Right.
But when I say aligned values in the sense that everybody just knew that we are aligned in the sense that we just wanted to own a bar. It wasn't because of profits. It wasn't there to make money.
Okay.
Right? So when you know how people say money is the root of all evil, right?
Right.
So if you remove money out of the equation, there's nothing to fight about, really.
Okay.
So everything, it was just fine because, you know, we are not there to make money. We don't go into this business to get dividends. So we're not out for, okay, what's the dividend this year, you know? How much money can we make? No, none of us ask about dividends. None of us. It's just there. And then we just had profits from the first outlet. And we said, hey, I think we can actually open a second outlet. There was no There was no dreams of opening a second outlet. It was just supposed to be that one outlet which all of us wanted to drink in. And from second, it went to third, it went to fourth, it went to fifth, and it went to eight outlets.
So did you have to close anything down during the pandemic?
We had to close everything down because, you know, we were a bar, right? We were not a food. And then the food that we served could not be, you know, we could not go on Grab. We couldn't go on delivery.
Right.
But what we did was that we started a brand on Grab, and we was not called The Bun. And we basically served food through Grab from our kitchen.
I see.
Yeah, so that was kind of the small pivot that we did. It didn't make us rich or anything, but you know, at least it paid for some of the staff, which was very important for us.
So obviously now it's open again. All the outlets are open again. Now, so I just want to go through. And then, of course, in 2019, you became an investor in a game development company and you had another F&B business. Is that part of the part of the pivot?
Yeah.
Okay, that was part of the pivot. And then two e-commerce business, which I don't think we have time to go through because there's so many things you want to go through. I do, however, want to talk about the owner circle, right? And this was started in 2018. This is a very interesting. Tell me about this.
Yeah. You know, back in 2018, I had a prompting, right? And it was basically said that I had to give back. I had to impact my other entrepreneurs. I had to impact. So it wasn't prompted to me that I had to impact entrepreneurs.
Right.
But then I looked at myself, what have I gone through and what do I do to be able to create that impact? So I felt that it was the need to teach and really share some of my entrepreneurship experiences to people. And that's how Owner Circle got started. So it's a business academy and a community to bring entrepreneurs in the business world together. And a lot of us in business, we always feel this notion of being alone.
Right.
And, you know, it's a very lonely journey. Lah. So if I needed to create something where people can come together and learn together and grow together. And through that, that is how I felt that I could make that impact by these lessons and this sharing.
Okay. I want to ask you a couple of things. You know, having dealt with a lot of entrepreneurs, so what are some of the common challenges or mistakes that people come in? No vision is definitely one of them.
Yeah, no vision is definitely one of them. I guess the second is really no foundations. And okay. it is no fault of any entrepreneur because most of us, we go into business either by chance, by accident, or we just feel that, hey, I think this is a good idea. Let's just do something about it. None of us really went into it going through business school. After going through business school, then only think about, okay, now I have the foundations, let's go into business. Mm. So without that foundations, a lot of us bang a lot of walls. So I've been an entrepreneur for more than 20 years. And, you know, I wish that I knew some of these lessons back then, but then we don't know what we don't know.
Right.
So we couldn't have known it. So a lot of them don't have the foundations. And lastly is that a lot of businesses are run without the knowledge of finance. And looking at numbers is very important. You know, most business owners, me included, hated to look at numbers. Oh, you know, I just want to do sales. I want to talk to people. Relationships is my thing, you know. You know, where I get relationships, you know, I build relationships, I get business lah. You know, well, why do I want to look at numbers? The numbers will speak for itself. Then I'm always wondering, right, at the end of the month, hey, why I get so much sales? Why my bank no money on? It's always empty, right? I'm always having cash flow issues. It's really, I'm not understanding the P&L of the business.
Right. And you call yourself, you know, I went to the Owner Circle website, you call yourself the people and process specialist, right? So why are processes important? I hate process, but then, you know, it is important.
I think it's the foundation. I ask a lot of business owners, what is the most important part of a business? Majority of business owners will say sales, which is logical.
Yes.
Right? You need sales to fund the company. You need the company funds to fund the banks, the cash flow. But I personally feel that sales is not the most important part of the business because when we start the business, most likely we are the best salesperson in the company. But how many hours do we have in a day? We don't have many hours. So we have to scale. We have to get other salespeople. And to get other salespeople, if they don't have the right processes to follow. And why processes? Because you cannot hire somebody who's just like you. We are all unique. So there's no way. And, you know, a lot of business owners think, oh, you know, why can't these people be like me? Why can't my staff be like me? You know?
Because they're your staff.
Yeah, they're your staff. And then you're asking for a miracle that will never happen.
Mm.
They will never be like us. Full stop. Because if they are like us, what does that mean? They will already run their own business.
Exactly.
Right. So they will never. So I always tell business owners, stop saying that. Stop frustrating yourself. Create processes. Look at how you are doing things. Create a process out of it. You know, like it's like building a factory line, you know. We're building a production line in a factory. Create the process. Get people to follow it. And that's how we scale. That's how we get results.
Okay. There's another element there. You talk about culture. And why is culture important? How do you inculcate that? Is there a formula for creating culture?
Culture is a topic that I can speak about for the next 6 hours.
Okay. But, I'll give you five minutes.
Culture is by design, right? We create our own culture, but culture is very important. A lot of business owners, again, you know, it's back to all these different challenges and complaints that I hear. And one of the complaints that I hear is that, oh, when I hire people, they don't have the right attitude. They don't have the right behavior, you know? And the constant complaint I always hear is like, oh, you know, these young people, the young generation don't know how to work. Then I asked them, but didn't, you know, our parents used to say to us, you know, you're young people. You know, so it is not a problem with the younger generation. It's just a generational adaptation. So that goes back down to culture, right? If you want to have people behave in a certain way, we have to tell people what is the culture of the company. We have to tell people what is the values that you believe in. A lot of us expect things out of our staff, but we never ever told them who exactly that we wanted to join the company. So simple thing, right? How do we portray a culture? It's by values. So having a set of core values in a company is crucial because that is where we will tell potential people that wants to come, this is us. This is the behaviors that we expect. I expect honesty. I expect grinding work. I expect hard work. I expect this and that. And if they come in understanding those values, then we will not have to guess anymore. We will not have to say, oh, you know, why are you not hardworking? Because you didn't say that I had to be hardworking. You just expected it. So culture is very important because it sets the foundations of how people and processes will run. Because without people, processes won't be delivered. Without processes, people don't know what to follow. So it's hand in hand.
Right. So you obviously have classes at Owner Circle?
Yes. So we have, I have a program called LEAD. It stands for Leadership, Execution, Alignment and Delegation. And it's a 7 to 8 weeks program today. It used to be a physical 3-to-3-day program, but now we've transformed it.
Right.
And we've transformed it to be even something better because now it's very action oriented. So we learn small chunks on a weekly basis, and then we take 1 week to implement whatever we've learned. And then we come back and we discuss what we have implemented, and then we learn a new topic. So this goes over 8 weeks. So it's rather than, you know, go to a class, learn for 9 hours a day, get brain fried, and then going like, oh, what did I learn? And then say, okay, I just want to rest. Yeah. So that
actually is good, right? So you get bite-sized, you get to practice something, an element that you learn, and after 2 months, it's become hopefully a habit and part of the system in the company already.
Exactly. And that was the thinking behind it. So I teach mostly about people, systems, and processes. Operational stuff. So I don't call myself a motivational speaker, and I'm not a motivational speaker. No, I'm not there to say, okay, you can do it. You can do it. You're a good business. You know, you can. No, right? I think it's a business.
I believe in you.
No, right? So I think we go down into the depth of, you know, okay, so how do you create the core values? How do you create the culture? How do you create the purpose of the company? How do you go into accountability matrix? How do you actually put people in an accountability positions? How do you create a personality matching? You know, how do you do proper job descriptions? How do you do proper interviews? You know, really going down into the really foundations and the growth. I would call it growth foundations now, in order to grow the business.
So basically with all your businesses, like Infront Consulting pretty much runs on its own, you know, so the band pretty much runs on its own, that sort of thing. And you're, I guess, an Owner Circle, you do that on a weekly basis as well, right? What's the vision for Rage How now? What's the new prompting?
So I think I haven't really figured out what is the, the next prompting or the next thing. But I think the prompting still is the same. I think for me, I'm really a man of faith. I feel that God is a very important person in my life. And throughout this whole journey, you know, I walk on this path that He has set out to me. So just really impacting people, looking at people grow and having the success excites me today.
Right.
You know, in the past, I've always wanted to be the guy that owns multiple businesses. And then at one point, a couple of years ago in the prompting, it dawned on me that, hey, there's no way that you're going to own so many businesses. Right? You will just die. So I think the only way that I can own multiple businesses is through other people. So as I teach others and their business grows and their business becomes successful, they become a successful entrepreneur, they go out and win awards, I feel that I have a part to play in it. We just started a show, right, called Confessions of an Entrepreneur.
Ah.
Right. And, you know, in there, I will be talking to a lot of different entrepreneurs and really going down deep and really going below the surface and understanding what made them tick. What were some of their biggest lessons in life? And we're not going to be talking about, we don't want to talk about the nice stories, right? We want to be really, you know, we want to try and make them cry. That's bad.
Okay.
but we want to make everybody understand really the true success stories behind the scenes and what really made them go through and how did they go through all these times and just to extract lessons out of it.
Okay. Well, you know, I wish you the very best in all your undertakings. I've been speaking to Ray Chow from Infront Consulting Group, The Barn, Owner Circle, and who knows what else. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.